So this morning I want to talk about, I'm going to share a testimony, and then I'm going to just talk about what I believe the Lord put on my heart this morning. So this is my lovely daughter, Isabella. Isabella, can you stand up? She can't. She's too shy. Oh, no, she's going to stand up. Can you say hi?
Hi.
Oh, no, talk in the mic. Okay, she said hi. Okay, so she's 7 years old, and then we have two other kids in the kids' church, Victoria, who's 5, and Isaac, who's 2.5, he tells me. Actually, he tells me 5, but he's really 2.5. So, let's see, our journey began probably about 2 years ago, and I think we were here 3 years ago, and I preached on not looking at the disability, but looking at what you were able to do and how God is able to use us. And then that year, that was about Christmas time, and then the year started to begin, and by the following year, we were probably in the toughest trial of our life. And so it started back in November when our daughter Isabella was playing at the church. And she was hanging on the coat rack like all little kids do. And she fell. And she hit her head smack dab on the brick floor. And she got up and she just screamed and cried like, you know, obviously it hurt. And she didn't hit her nose, but she goose-egged, like, really big. And then her eyes went black, and that's just a sign of concussion and things. We didn't take her to the hospital. My brother is a firefighter and an EMT. He just looked her over, and, you know, he said, my opinion, she's good. Let's just watch her. I said, okay, we can do that. Because the eMERGE system in Grand Prairie, I don't know how it is here, but it usually takes a few hours before you even see anybody. So we just thought, well, let's look at it and watch her. And so over the next few days, she had a couple headaches, and that wasn't too bad. The brain heals, and so it hurts and things like that. And then after a while, the headaches disappeared. And so we thought, that's great. And then we just kept watching her and just keeping our eye on her, and the headaches came back. And so, of course, our family is a praying family, and so we just began to pray and believe and stand firm on how things were going and just, God is healing her. Thank you, Jesus, that she's healed. And away we kept going. And so that went on for a couple months. And around January, I kind of got, you know, this is just really weird. So we kept praying and kept standing. And I said to Andrea, if it keeps going, I'm going to go get her just checked out and see what's going on. So we kept doing that. February came. And now she was waking in the middle of the night with headaches between the hours of 3 and 5, constant. Pretty much a couple times a week, 3 times a week, usually she would wake up in the middle of the night. And so that brought us to like February, I want to say around the 19th, we went in to see our family doctor and told her the story and told her what happened. And she goes, oh no, she's fine, she'll be okay. And all right, no problem, we'll take your word for it. You checked her out, you're the doctor. And that began the next 5 days. She had a headache day and night for 5 days, and then we gave her Tylenol, and she was puking up the Tylenol. So we're like, this is not good. So finally, I woke up February 24th, 5 o'clock in the morning with her, and I said, that's enough. I'm going to go get you checked out. We're going to go to the eMERGE. And so we went to the eMERGE, and I talked to the doctor. I told him the symptoms. I said, she's going to puke if you give her Tylenol, and sure enough, she puked when the Tylenol came. Well, 15 minutes later, and he realized, okay, maybe something's going on. So I said, I want a CT scan, and the CT scan came back, and he goes, within minutes of kind of the scan to us going to eMERGE to everything, he says, there's a 5-centimeter mass in your daughter's brain. He says, I'm not saying it's a tumor, but it could be a tumor. And so he said, you need to get to Edmonton ASAP. And we thought, okay, that's pretty serious. They were wanting to medevac her down to Edmonton. And I said, well, just wait a second, like, I can drive down, we'll be there by the end of the day. And he said, okay, sounds great, go see this guy. So we got down to Edmonton about 6:30 that night, and within an hour we were meeting with the neurosurgeon. And he had ordered a MRI and then put her on some steroids and stuff. And so that whole time, you know, our family's kind of rocked and shaken. At this point, I was on staff at the church working with the youth. And I phoned them up and I said, I'm not going to be in today and I don't know when I'm going to be in. This is what's happened. We found this mass. I said, we have to go to Edmonton and deal with this. And we don't exactly know what's going on. We have not a clue. So we prayed, and we believed God for a miraculous miracle. We said, God, let's see this tumor removed by the time we get to Edmonton. You know, we're just going to ask you for that, and that's what we're going to stand on. And so we went down there, and we did the MRI, and sure enough, there's the tumor. Still there. So we're like, God, you didn't answer our prayers. What's going on? Why? You know, and then that started a whole other journey for us. We said, okay, well, let's, maybe we're supposed to face this. I don't know. Let's pray that the doctors would be wowed. So that's what we started praying. We're like, God, wow the doctors. That's what we want you to do now. We want you to wow the doctors. And so they had given her some antibiotics, or not antibiotics, but steroids to help with the pain control. And then we looked and we met with them, and they told us all these side effect things that could take place. And we scheduled a surgery for March the 3rd. And we moved forward for surgery, and we planned for surgery. And away we went, and we sat there, and we, you know, all this time we're reaching out to God and talking to him about this. And God, what do you want to show us through this? What, like, we're following you, we're serving you. What's going on? And we continued to have faith in him. That brought us to March the 3rd. We got a phone call early that morning saying, we've got an emergency. She's going to be bumped to March 4th. And from that point, I was like, March 4th, that's prophetic. Away we go. We're going to March 4th and go into the surgery, and away we go. And so March 4th came. Our pastors had come down from Grand Prairie, and we went to the hospital at 5 in the morning. No, it was 6 in the morning, something like that. I don't know. It was super early. I just remember dragging her out of bed to go to the surgery. And then we got there. And we briefed everything. We got her in her jammy, like the hospital gown and stuff. And I remember going and taking her and carrying her beyond the door where I couldn't go, where Andrea couldn't go anymore. And when they were just allowed one person to go. And I carried my daughter down the hallway. It was quite a long hallway. And I got around a couple more corners, and I came to this big white room. And there it was, a big operating table. The fanciest thing I've ever seen in my life. Just gadgets here and there and everywhere. And I remember them then putting her to sleep. And I laid her on the table. And as I laid her down, and her last word was, Dada. And I just broke. Immediately I broke. And I came out of the room. And I went and sat down in the chair for a few minutes. And I just cried my face off. And I said, God, you got to do this. Something's got to go. Because the list of side effects was, like, seriously a page long. You know, they talked about rehabilitation. They talked about all things, including death and stroke. And so when you face this as a parent, you face some pretty hard things. You know, you trust that your little girl's going to come out. You know, you trust that God's going to be with you in this thing. And so to back up my story, when I first found out, I phoned my wife on the way home from the hospital, and I said to her, Andrea, I said, God is good. He's in control, but we have to go to Edmonton. Those were the first words that came out of my mouth. And we continued to stand in that. So even when we didn't see the tumor completely removed, we still stood on the fact, okay, God, you're good. Today we sang about, God, you're so good. You are good. You are good. And in the middle of the hard time, I had to check my heart and say, God, are you good? It was more of a question rather than a, God, you're good. But we declared God is good from the start. And so we laid her down on the table. We got out, we got together, and we waited for a long 7 hours before we got to see our little girl again. They came out at noon, around 1 o'clock, and they said, she's done. We'll be wheeling her by in a little bit. So we said, okay. And we waited for, we just kind of sat there, anxiously waiting for our little girl to come out. And so they wheeled the stretcher by, and the doctor says, give your parents a big smile, sweetie. And she gave us the biggest smile I've ever seen. In her swollen little cheeks, she gave us this big smile. And in our hearts, we knew God was good. In that moment, we said, God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You are good. And so then from there, we waited another 20 minutes before we could actually go into PICU. And see her again. So, I need to drink water, please. So then, from there, When we finally got to see our little girl, the swelling had already gone down in her face. Don't walk and drink, apparently. And so the swelling had already gone down in her face. And we're like, whoa, this is really awesome. You know, God began to wow us in this time. And so we documented, I took a few pictures here and there, but you can see in the time lapse, I won't show you pictures today, but you can see in the time lapse from the time that we first saw her to an hour later, the change that she had gone through already. And you start to check off the things. Okay, she doesn't need rehabilitation for this. She doesn't need help swallowing. She doesn't need rehabilitation for this. She's coherent. She can talk. She can do all these things. And you start going, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for every little miracle along the way. And it was really something else. I mean, she started drinking and started joking within like a couple hours. She was really chipper, really happy, no pain, nothing. It was amazing. And that was a Wednesday. And by Friday, she was at the place where she could actually, the rehabilitation team comes by every morning and they look, and literally the doctor said, wow, seven of them said, wow, she had brain surgery not even 48 hours ago. Wow. That's what they said. And I said, God, you're answering that prayer. That's amazing. Thank you, God. And from there, she was asking, she said, can I go for a little walk? And they're like, well, we can check things out. Sure. So they got her ready, and she stood up, and she fell over because of her equilibrium, because they just took a mass out of her head. So now it left that open space, and her equilibrium was very off. She was very tipsy. And so in my heart, I went, oh, you know, thankfully she can stand, you know, kind of thing. But she still wanted to go for her walk. And I said, okay, we can go for a walk, but I want you to sit on this chair and don't move. I'll come right back. She loves this story because she's just crazy. So anyway, I go and get a drink of water, and it's probably from here to my wife away, probably about that far away. And I walk to the water, and as I'm getting the water and I'm walking over there, I said, God, thank you just for dealing with the equilibrium thing, and thank you for how good you are. And next thing I know, I hear, hi, Daddy. And here she is standing right beside me. She had disobeyed me, walked from the chair, walked to the water, and perfectly straight. Not a tipping over, like, I'm telling you, before she had to hang on to the bed, she was that tippy. And she just walked right over, and not a thing. Just straight, just completely right there. And I thought, God, you're good again. You are there. You answered our prayer. And so that was amazing. And on the fourth day, they gave us a pass, a day pass, from the PICU, which is the neonatal intensive care unit. They gave us a pass from there to go out and enjoy the Edmonton, I guess, on the fourth day. And apparently that's pretty unheard of, to get a pass on the fourth day from PICU. And so we'd come back into the hospital, and we'd go back into the room, and she would call in. She's like, it's Isabella, the patient. And they're like, this is weird. You, nobody calls in. No patient calls into PICU. And so it was really funny. It was just, we had a good time knowing that God is real. And on the fifth day, our doctors said, wow, I don't know what else to say. You guys might as well head back to Grand Prairie. And so that was our doctor, who was the initial kind of vibe that I got from him was that he was God, in a sense. He had a very high self-esteem, I would say. And I mean, he does the brain surgery stuff. And so he makes a lot of people well, in his opinion, because he knew our faith. We prayed with him. We had opportunity to pray, and we took opportunity to pray with the surgeons and with the doctors and stuff. But his opinion of himself was very high. And to be wowed like that for us was amazing. And so we got to go back home on March the 9th. We went back home and to our home in Grand Prairie, and we waited there, and we live life. And we thought, okay, well, you know, God, you've healed her. You've done it. One of the things the doctor said to us about her tumor when they found out was that it was what they call like a heterogeneous tumor. which means it's made up of different kinds of masses. It was made of a solid and a liquid, and they're like, there's a 5% chance we can get this tumor out. After the MRI had been done, they came back and said, it's completely removed. And so we're like, God, again, you've answered our prayer. And so in that time, even when we were waiting in the emergency, I found there was another little boy that had the surgery just the day before ours. And in the time, we got to pray with his parents. And it was the most amazing thing ever. Because I spent the night in the hospital, in the PICU, I heard some things that about this other little boy that were just kind of heartbreaking. Because you were there, and they're like, they had to do a third surgery on this little kid, and it just wasn't going well. And so the next day, I found the dad, and I said, I want to pray with you and pray with your son. And they said, okay, we're open to that. And we went and prayed, and afterwards, he came up, and he gave me a big hug. I saw him a little bit later, and he said, thank you. He said, that's the first positive report we've heard. And so it was amazing just how, even in that, God opened our eyes, because we asked him, Lord, show us what you want to do in this situation. You know, those people came to faith because we were looking for opportunity even within the journey. So one of these, I'm going to share a scripture now, and then I'm going to go back and continue part of our story. So scripture that we asked the Lord for, he gave us out of Genesis chapter 50. So before we headed down to Edmonton, we asked the Lord, we said, God, give us a scripture that we can stand on. Give us some kind of promise because we know that you can speak to us through your word. And so we asked him for a promise. He took us to Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. It says, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about this day to save many people. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. And so we really claim that verse as our own. We said, God, if you're going to take us through this journey, we thank you that you're here with us. And God, we thank you that you're going to use it for good. What the enemy meant for evil, you're going to turn it for good. And it's just in the order to bring people to your salvation is how we read it. And God, I thanked them for... It says here, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. For us, we're a family of one income. And for me to just go and take, I didn't know how much time off of work, was a real struggle for me. Because that's a whole another element of what is going to do as a provider. What are my finances looking like? We didn't have a large savings account by any means. We didn't have other finances coming in. We didn't have anything. And so when God spoke that to my heart, I said, okay, God, it's your thing. It's your journey. We thank you for the provision along the way. And it was amazing how he provided for us in that time. You know, he had given me an idea months earlier that I actually acted upon. And the actions that I acted upon months earlier really provided a large sum for us to get through. And it was amazing. So even to tell you what it was, the Lord showed me this thing. He said, well, I want you to make pens. And I'm like, writing pens? I'm like, okay. So I bought a lathe and I bought the tools and I did it and I made like 100 pens and they sold very quick. And then I reinvested that money and I bought another 100 pens and I didn't sell a single one. And I was like, oh, I really heard you there. You know, maybe I acted on my own flesh. Maybe I tried to provide for my own family, you know. I didn't know. Anyway, so we were out some money, and then at one point in time when we had to go back down to Edmonton, I ran into somebody, and I donated a pen to them. And they were doing this big fundraiser coming up for Ronald McDonald House. And I donated the pen to them, and I told her our story and told her that the journey is going to continue here. And she goes, well, can I sell your pens for you? And I said, of course you can. Like, this would be amazing. And so anyway, she, instead of raising money for the Ronald McDonald House, she promoted our pens at their next fundraiser. And it ended up, bringing close to $14,000 in for our family. And people were paying far more than the pen was worth. But when I got home and I looked and I opened the box and it was empty, and I opened another box and it was empty, each one held 32 pens. I open the third box. It's empty. And then I open the fourth one, and it's just an envelope of cash and money and checks. I broke. Because that morning I was in the shower and I said, Lord, I give it to you again. I give you everything we need. Like, we can't do this without you. And that was the thing. And so it was amazing how the Lord provided. So just to encourage you, when the Lord speaks to you and gives you an idea, you should maybe act on it. And I don't know what would have happened. I know he still would have provided even if I didn't necessarily act on it. But that extra blessing for us was phenomenal and got us through. So, back to his promises. He gave us a promise, and we stood on it, and we walked through with it. God, you're going to take care of us. You're going to provide for us, and away we went. So when we were at home, we went back to work, and we started going forward, and we waited. They said, we'll call you with a biopsy report. Okay. I said, how long will that take? They're like, well, 4 weeks max. We're like, okay, 4 weeks max, no problem. Well, wait. So we prayed and we stood in faith and we kept believing. The fifth week came and we're like, okay, we're still believing. The sixth week came and we're like, well, maybe no news is good news. Let's celebrate. And a week later, they called us up on the seventh week and they said, can you come down to Edmonton tomorrow? We thought, oh, that's kind of serious. So we drove down to Edmonton the next day and they sat us down and they said, we're sorry to tell you this, it's a malignant tumor. And it's very aggressive form, and we're going to have to start chemotherapy tomorrow. And I went, really? My wife and I just sat in shock. Like, this isn't good. The doctors are arguing about their treatment in front of us, and I just said, hold off. I said, I want another week. I need a week. I can't do this. I'm not ready to start tomorrow. I need a week. And so they said, they didn't know what to say. Because they're like, they wanted to start the next morning. And I'm like, no, I'm not ready. We're not ready. I don't want to do this. So we went back home and we took our week. And I started fasting from the time we left the hospital right till we went home and we started talking about things. And Pastor Paul decided to do a 3-day liquid fast for the whole church. He just called a spontaneous fast and we were going to pray because at this time there was a couple other families going through stuff in our church. And so we stood and we believed and we asked God to direct us in this time. Again, we're like, God, I don't want to do this. We believed that she was healed. We stood firm on the healing. And so I made a couple phone calls. And then what I felt the Lord, he opened my eyes and he said, through a doctor actually, he said, do everything possible and let God do the impossible. And in that moment, I kind of had a peace. I'm like, okay, Andrea, we hadn't really talked much, but I had a peace now to actually go through this journey. And I thought, and I talked to her, and she's like, this sounds weird, but I feel like God's asking us to go through chemotherapy and radiation. And I'm like, okay, let's do it. So it was not an easy decision to do, but it was something we felt like the Lord asked us to do. And so we talked to our doctors again, and we said, is there any way we can transfer to Calgary? In Edmonton, we don't know anybody, but in Calgary, we have some family in Okotoks. And so anyway, then they said, yeah, that's possible. So from there, when we got down there, we met our doctors in Calgary on my wife's birthday. So happy birthday to her. She's sitting there, May the 5th, meeting with doctors, talking about further treatment with our daughter. And so anyway, when we got there, we walked into the room and we felt the peace of God in the doctor's room. It was just weird, but we knew God was with us because this was the journey he had asked us to go down. So when he started to talk, we found out like he's a pediatric oncologist for brain cancer. That's like a super specialist type of thing. And so we felt very confident in the fact that the Lord had sent us to this place. So when we got there, and after talking with them, we had finally made a decision of what treatment cycle we were going to do, which involved radiation and chemotherapy. But he gave us so many options that we could kind of choose from that we didn't even know existed because of our Edmonton hospital didn't really give us any. They just said, we want you to start tomorrow. And so we had prayed about it. We said, we're going to go with this one. And we're going to believe for full healing throughout. And so the treatment consisted of like a high-dose chemo and a high-dose radiation. And the side effect list, again, was like a mile long. And so we said to the Lord, God, we want, she was healed coming into this, and we're going to see healing going throughout the whole thing. He gave me another scripture along the way when we got to this journey. So it's Mark 11, 22. Mark 11, 22 reads this. He said, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be moved, removed, and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. So we did exactly that. And another scripture I'll just read off my phone that he shared, this was right at the start, was this. Philippians 4, 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank him for his answers. And if you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Jesus Christ. And so those were two scriptures. This one he gave me very early on, and this one he gave us right before I walked in to the treatment. And so what this verse spoke to me was, yes, ask in faith, do it, ask of me. And then this one spoke to me and said, don't forget to thank me. So what I felt like he shared with me was, ask once and then thank me. And many times I find in churches, we ask and we ask and we ask. You know, my kids do that to me all the time. Daddy, can I have a movie? Daddy, can I have a movie? Daddy, can I have a movie? In the same 5 minutes, five times, Daddy, can I have a movie? Daddy, can I? I already answered you. I said, after supper, you can have a movie. How annoying is it when a kid comes up and they ask over and over and over and over and over? I find it extremely annoying, personally. And I usually get angry. I go, shut up. Daddy's trying to think. Or, I already answered you. And so, but the Lord spoke to me in that time and he said, you just ask once. Just ask once in faith. And then thank me. So my prayers changed from, God, heal my daughter, to, I asked that once. I asked you, Lord, to heal my daughter. Now I'm thanking you for healing the daughter. I thank you for the full healing. And I thank you that we're going to see everything. And from that moment forward, we began to see what we asked him. Because we didn't ask him more than once. We asked him once, and then we thanked him. And this is what happened. It says in the rest of the Philippians, it says that if you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest while you trust in him. So no longer did we doubt that God had healed our daughter. No longer did we doubt that God wasn't in control. No longer did we doubt that God wasn't good. Because we thanked him for the answers which we already asked him for. So we moved forward. And so that was part of our thing. And as our journey wound down, we spent a lot of time away from home. There was parts of it that I walked through in my own because we had the three small kids. Andrea had spent some time up in Grand Prairie while I spent 2 months in Calgary kind of on our own, and it was a tough time. It was a tough thing. But in that time, I really had a lot of time where I could just ask the Lord some things. And one of the things that I really talked about was the why God. The why God. And I'm kind of jumping all over a little bit at the moment, but I want you to just hear me for a second. I never asked why God. I'm not trying to boast in myself. I didn't ask why God. Never did. I just trusted that God was going to take us through that. To finish off the story, we went through, and by December 2nd, we were finally at home. and she was doing very well. We went through chemotherapy and radiation with very little side effects. And when I say that, there was one time where she had some mouth sores, and we stood our ground, and we prayed, and we thanked him, and within, 24 hours, they were all just disappeared. I mean, it was so bad, she wouldn't drink water. They just developed overnight, and they were big, and she wouldn't even drink water. And we just took to prayer, and we thanked God, and walked through that, and within 24 hours, they were completely gone. And so we were like, praise the Lord, you know, that's so good. And so it wasn't the easiest battle. It wasn't the easiest trial that we had walked through. But we came out at the end better. Not bitter, but better. And just like that, the video clip we watched today about how three different things can face the same obstacle and come out different, we knew that God had brought us through this very hard trial for something, for some reason, to do something. And even if it was just in us, we knew that I said to my wife after we're done, I said, I would never change what we went through. As hard as it was, as crappy as it was at times, I wouldn't trade that for anything. It drew our family closer. It drew me closer to the Lord. It drew Andrea closer to the Lord. And we saw many miracles, and it built our faith like nothing else. Smith Wigglesworth says that about this, about difficult times, he says, great faith is the product of great fights. Great testimonies are the outcome of great tests. And great triumphs can only come out of great trials. And so there we stood, and we knew that God had brought us through something great to do something great in us. And so forward we went, and marching, but back to this why, I didn't ask why. Part of me said, why not? Why not? And it's a whole different way. And I know that many people in here have faced hard things, and I know that many people in here are still going to face hard things. And I want to encourage you today, is can we continue without knowing why? Can we continue without knowing why? There's a lot of people asking the why question right now. There's a lot of people in our society that say, why? Why? How could good things, or how could bad things happen to good people? That's not right, God. Why? Why? And their why has got them to a place where they're ready to say God is not good and God does not exist. Because the why happens up here a lot of the times. The why started messing with my brain. You know, now that I've gotten back and I've begun to look at some things, I felt in the past the temptation to go, why? Why did you do that? Why? And every time I take it to the Lord and I offer it to him, do you know what he says? He says, I'm here with you. He says, I'm here with you. He showed me in this scripture when I got back in Isaiah 43. If I can find it. It says, but now, thus says the Lord who created you, O God, or O Jacob, and he formed you, O Israel. He says, fear not, for I have redeemed you, and I have called you by your name, and you are mine. And when you pass through waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burnt, and nor shall the flame scorch you. He said, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. He said, can you trust me with that? And I said, I guess I can. You know, you were there, God, as I walked through the hard trial. You were there when I sat in my hospital bed and cried at night. You were there when we went through the hardest days. And you see your little girl sick, who's once healthy and strong and whole and can do anything. You see her sick, and she's just got enough energy to color and watch a movie. You know, God, you're there in that time. The one day I remember sitting there on the hospital bed, and I said, okay, Lord, I need an encouragement because things are just crap. And that was my prayer. I didn't be all holy and say, God, you know. I just said, Lord, this is the way it is, and I need an encouragement. And within minutes, he said, I'm with you here. And he showed me a scripture, and he just talked to me as if he was right beside me. that time I will never trade. And so as we go through the hard things, church, as we go through the things of life, the journey of life that's tough and that it seems insurpassable and we can't get through it, instead of asking the why, you say, God, let me hear from you. Why don't you speak to me right now where I'm at? And let him encourage your heart so that you can move forward. The why, not knowing the why and having to reason that why out, will eventually take you right off your journey to where you'll say that God doesn't exist. There's a story of a girl named Teresa McBain, I believe is her name. I can't quite remember the name. But anyway, she was a Methodist preacher, and she knew from a young age that she was going to be a preacher. And she wanted to get into the ministry, and so she began to preach. And so many people in her church and in her congregation kept coming to her with bad things, bad reports. Why does this happen? Why does God let this happen? Why does this happen? And she couldn't answer them. And so she just tucked them away and said, you know what, God's here. You know, just keep trusting him. And eventually she went through some hard things. And she came to that place of why. And so she started to, instead of doing what she had advised her counsel to, or the people to do, she went looking for answers. Why does this happen? She went looking in the natural, and she went looking through different things. And God, why does God allow cancer? Why does God allow this? And she kept reading these things. And eventually, she stepped down from as a pastoral minister. She stepped down on the weekend before Easter. She resigned from her church, and on Easter Sunday, she went up in front of the atheist convention and denied Christ. Because her why had taken, the needing to know the why had taken her to a place where she came and said, God can't exist. God can't be good because of this. Now that's a pretty serious thing that her why had taken her that far off course. And folks, I believe that there's many in here today that have asked that why and have began to question God's goodness. Like I said, from the very start of our journey, I said, God, you are good. And sometimes that was a question. Sometimes I said, okay, God, you are good, ? But in my heart, I wanted to hold on to the fact that God was good. And I thought about, even if my daughter dies, what would happen then? Would I still believe that God is good? Or would I really question him then? You see, in my heart, I chose to believe God is good. No matter what I see, no matter the outcome today, Lord, I know that you are good. Your word says you're good. Your word, I built that fact on God is good from the word of God. I took his word and I planted it in my heart like a seed. Like you plant your seed in the garden and you water it. And what happens to the little seed? It begins to grow. And eventually fruit is produced by whatever you've planted. And the same thing was true with the word of God. When you tuck the word of God in your heart and you begin to ask him for things, encouragements, and when you begin to ask him for, speak to me, O Lord, and he speaks to you and he encourages you, you can then move on. And it begins to water and it begins to sprout and eventually fruit is produced from your life. And so that's exactly what happened in our journey. God did something on the inside of me that now I could never deny his goodness. Because he had taken us through a place of that hardness, I realized that he had given us a great testimony. And it says here in Isaiah 43 verse 10, it says that you are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. And I have declared and saved, and I have proclaimed that there is no foreign God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. So that's what God did in my heart. I can't go and deny. I have to be a witness to what God has done, because God is good and God is on my side and God is on your side and he's with you as well. There's no difference between the God that you serve and the God that I serve. It's just a perspective. How do you see the Lord today? I asked him, I said, God, open my eyes to see your goodness. He took me to his word and he showed me in his word how good he is, so that inside my heart knew that he was good. And so that way I could go through the hard time, even though I didn't have the why and I didn't know the why, I was still his witness to other families that were going through hard things as well. And they said, why? And I said, I don't know why. I don't know, but let's pray to God. Let's ask God for an answer to this question. Not the why question, but to the problem question. Let's ask God through that way. And then let's begin to thank him for that. And that's how we saw it. So going through these things, back to the whole video about the potato, how it goes into the pot of water hard and comes out soft. I was thinking about that. I'm like, is that such a bad thing to go through a hard thing and still come out soft? I don't know. The next question is, you know, is it okay to come in fragile but come out hard? Well, sometimes it's not bad. But how about going through as the coffee and going into the pot of water and becoming something that's actually sometimes refreshing? You know, it changed the water, and coffee is sometimes refreshing, but we can be that way as well. And so there's really, I felt like the Lord said, there's kind of three ways you can come out of a hard thing. You know, you can really come out bitter, or you can come out better. And you can go in very fragile, but come out with strength. Or you can go in and come out soft. And soft's not a bad thing. But then there's the other option is you can get stuck and hung up on the why. And you can totally derail yourself. So I guess that's four. I can't count very well. Or you, like I said, you can come out, you can ask the why, and you can derail yourself. And I don't believe that that's what God intended for anybody when you go through this journey. Isaiah 43, verse 18 says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Verse 19 says, behold, I will do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth, and shall you not know it? In everybody's journey, no matter where you are in life, no matter what you're going through, you know, we still go through things with Isabella. We still have to go for solid, you know, for MRIs. We still have to go through follow-ups, through all those things. But each time that we go with an expectant heart, knowing that God has done a new thing. That every time we go for an MRI, the result's going to come back positive, clear, and clean, and she's good to go. We were just there in June. And we were going every 3 months up to this point. And she's given us the doctors have given us the clean and clear. But in June, they said, we'll see you in 6 months. And for us, that's big news. That's a big milestone. That 18-month past clear, that's a big point. For them, that's like, all right, we got 6 more months, and then we're going to basically go into long-term care. And so for us, that's fantastic, and we know that God has already taken us to a place of long-term care. Amen. Because we know from his word and from believing what he said that, behold, I have done a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, and shall you not know it? And so he's always looking to reveal himself, no matter where you are in your journey. He is looking to reveal himself to you in a new way that you don't even know him yet. It's a matter of you getting with him, and instead of asking the why, saying, God, show me. And it's a matter of you getting to that place where you are actually praying and believing and then receiving and not praying and asking and asking and asking and asking and asking and asking. It's taking you to that place, and each of those journeys is a place where he's going to bring strength to your heart. He's going to bring strength to your soul. He's going to bring softness if you need softness. He's going to bring strength if you're fragile. And he's going to cause you to change your area and not your area affect you. That's what I wanted to encourage you with. That's what I believe the Lord had placed on my heart for you guys today. Is that in the journey, it's tough, but if you look to him instead of to the why, you'll get through. Amen? Let me close in prayer. Father, we thank you today that you are God and that you are good. God, thank you for the journey. Thank you that you are Lord of the journey, that you are Lord in the journey, and that you are with us, God. Father, we thank you for that today. And Lord, as we continue on our journey, God, I thank you that we can look to you, God, not for the why, but for strength. Lord, it says that you are our strength in times of weaknesses. Lord, you're there. So God, we look to you as that today. We look to you as our strength. We look to you as the God of the journey and the God of the breakthrough. And we thank you for today, God, in Jesus' name. I ask and I speak a blessing upon each and every person here today, Lord. No matter where they're at, I thank you that you are with them. And I thank you that you strengthen them today, Lord. In Jesus' name. We bless you today, God, and we thank you for this wonderful day. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.